This week on Barbell Shrugged, we talk about sustainable farming with Farmer Joe. This product has not been pasteurized and therefore may contain harmful bacteria that can cause illness, particularly in children, the elderly, and persons with weakened immune systems, and in pregnant women can cause illness, miscarriage, or fetal death, or death of a newborn.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Butcher with Doug Larson, Chris Moore, and CTP behind the camera. We have traveled up to beautiful Vermont in what month is this? September? Probably the best time of year to be up here. And we're going to hang out with quite a few people, but we are here with Joe P, as he goes by up here.
Farmer Joe.
We always just call him Farmer Joe. We're up here at Sweet Georgia Peas. This is a sustainable farm with, you've got goats and plants
and farm stuff.
I am what you might would call a city slicker, so a lot of this is foreign to me, but I did get to taste some of the best milk I've ever had in my entire life since I was a child.
Spectacular. Know,
since I was on the teat myself.
That's right.
If you listen to the audio version, you missed out on the intro. You gotta hop over to the website, check that out. I got the freshest milk you could probably
shut you in the face.
Unquestionable.
Goat milk.
Yes.
Slow motion.
That's right.
Yeah, on this show in the past, I've talked quite a bit about myself consuming raw goat milk. I go to farmers markets and I try to find stores that carry that type of thing depending on what state I'm in. It's considered illegal at a federal level. You can't cross state lines with the stuff or you're a felon. They've raided farms over this stuff for people who have actually transported over state lines.
To say all this shit out loud is ridiculous.
It sounds ridiculous.
Downright scary, right?
Yeah.
Downright scary.
You'd think that we were sneaking bombs across the border or something like that.
May as well be.
Yeah. So what we did this morning, it's perfectly legal. Since
100, because you're on the farm. We can do anything we want on the farm with the raw milk products.
Awesome. Yes, that's kind of ridiculous, right?
It's hugely ridiculous.
What other ridiculous things do you have to work around? Like,
So transportation of the raw products is, because we try to feed the cities, right? We bring all our products down to Boston and New York, and transportation of the raw products, we can't do it. We have to abide by all federal guidelines to do interstate shipping of farm products.
What does that mean?
To cross state lines, just to cross state lines. So we have to, so the raw products we cannot bring to the cities. We can bring our eggs. We can bring meats that are processed in a USDA processing facility, which we have one about 40 minutes down the road, so that's not so bad.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, as a small farmer, raise meat chickens on the farm, process them myself, and bring them down to Boston. That is also federally illegal.
In regard to the raw milk, what are some of the health benefits? I mean, a lot of people... You know, the laws are set up to scare people away from it, but I've heard a lot of stories of people having illnesses that actually almost get healed from the raw milk.
Yeah, so obviously it works different for everybody, depending on, however many billion people on the planet, so there's 7 billion different diets that work for everybody, right? But my opinion is raw milk is really the only milk that you can drink, right? Because once you process it, you're transforming this product into something that's just got a longer shelf life and more marketable to the people, but it's all a bunch of dead calories, right?
So it might be more accurate to say that raw milk is the only thing you should call milk.
That's correct. I actually had a debate with somebody recently that was debating almond milk was more beneficial than raw milk. And
aren't you cute?
That's
man.
Right. That's right.
Just because you call it milk doesn't mean it's milk.
That's right.
Just because it's white.
Conversation.
Milky
conversation is over. You want almonds? You eat almonds.
I've never milked an almond in my life. It's like where's the teat on this almond? I can't find it anywhere. This is ridiculous.
We make some kind of offensive. If you want an almond, eat an almond. Oh, drink real milk.
Yeah, the problem right. The problem with most processed food is that it turns into a whole lot of calories and not a whole lot of nutrients. And so having raw milk is calories plus nutrients and healthy bacteria and a whole host of other things.
I'm
certainly not an expert.
Probacteria, right? Like everything, yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. And then pasteurized milk is really just calories and all that stuff's basically been killed in the pasteurized process. Basically means they heat treat it and all that stuff dies.
That's
is
correct.
That right?
That's correct, yes.
I mean, I don't know how much of it is true, but I've heard some pretty crazy stories about the lack of standards, or lack of, I guess, the standards that pasteurized milk is held to is fairly low. And like, if you were to like expose raw milk to the same environment that you expose pasteurized milk, it would be, you like, if you learned exactly what everything that happened, you would never want to drink milk from the store again.
That's correct.
Pasteurized.
That's why they have to pasteurize it.
Holy shit, they have to pasteurize this, or else you would be poisoned to death.
That's exactly right. So for the big companies to produce these foods, right, they have to pasteurize things because they need long shelf life. My milk lasts for like 7 to 10 days, you know, so it's virtually impossible to mass market it on like a huge scale, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the whole local community farm thing. That's where we come into that.
Yeah, you shipping your milk to somewhere like Arizona would be impossible. They would, I mean, you could probably FedEx it or whatever, but it would make more sense for them to get it from Arizona.
From their own local raw dairy. That's right.
Yeah.
So I know you're not a biochemist, but what really happens in this whole pasteurization process? Do you know in detail kind of what happens there?
Not really hugely versed on it because I don't do it, but essentially it's heated to, I believe, about 170 degrees for a series of minutes, maybe 15-ish.
So there goes your probiotics and everything else.
That's right. It kills all the potentially harmful bacteria, but it also kills all the good bacteria, all the good probiotics. You know?
Is it fair to say
denatures a lot of the enzymes as well? Is that true?
I don't know.
You don't know about that one? I'm not sure, but that sounds like something that potentially could happen.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people who have, like, say, they're lactose intolerant, a lot of times if they start drinking raw milk, it has the enzymes necessary for breaking down the lactose and other things like that.
Sure. It makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really, you know, I'm a terrible salesman, so I'm not totally sold that human beings should be drinking milk anyways, you know what I mean? But if we are drinking milk, we should certainly be drinking raw milk. And,
yeah,
we're the
only animals drinking milk as adults.
Yeah, that's right. That's
in
right.
My experience.
Another species milk.
Yeah, but I think this is one of the areas of diet where you could say, oh, I don't do good with dairy. But my next question is, what kind of dairy are you not being good? Because when I have cheap dairy or this, that, and the other, I feel a certain way. When I have the highest qualities, if I have a, like, if you get a high quality goat kefir or something from a good source, even like Whole Foods, is still pretty good. It's
absolutely
so much better than like a kefir, the same kind of product just from a cow, or the same kind of product from a bigger brand that is more industrialized. You can just immediately get an immediate sense that one is superior to the other. And you feel, about an hour later, you feel that way too.
No doubt about it. And I think not only with dairy, but you could bring that into the realm with everything, right? Like, say, eggs, you could bring that into the realm with produce. I mean, freshness, the factor of freshness is absolutely gigantic.
Do you think what most people need to understand is that an egg is not an egg, a milk is not a milk? Milk is not milk. Sorry, my grammar. It's early. No, but like, you know, those I won't eat eggs. I don't like them. You crack your egg in the morning and it runs all over the pan like water.
The yolk
is
just
yellow.
Breaks.
Sure.
Yeah. The yolk breaks. That is not like what you get on this farm. I imagine the yolk is a bright red and it holds up on its own. It's more like eating a little steak than it
bright,
is.
Bright orange, yes.
Yeah, bright orange is what you're after.
Red is danger.
Red is, a little bit of bright red is okay. That's just a fertilized egg from the rooster, so that's all good. But, yes, you're absolutely right.
Extra oomph in there.
A little extra oomph, extra protein. And, correct, the eggs you buy in the supermarket are typically, like, you know, 3 weeks old when you get them. You know, we move eggs here that are literally a day old. We bring eggs to Boston that are literally 3 days old, never more than 1 week old when they reach our consumer.
Yeah. And it's worth every penny you pay for the extra.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Every fucking penny.
And is there any regulations on distributing the eggs? Is there anything?
They need to be kept at 42 degrees. So there's another weird area. We're the only country in the world that refrigerates our eggs, but goes back to...
I lived in Ireland and in Australia, and they didn't refrigerate their eggs.
That's right. No, you buy them right out on the shelf.
Yeah, they sell them out and about. Like
Doug and
store.
I, in college, would keep our eggs in the cabinets.
Yep.
You know who told me
and
that?
And the girls would come over to the house and be like, what is going on? I'm like, you don't have to refrigerate eggs.
When I live with Dr. Galpin, he called me out. Like, why are you putting eggs in the fridge? I'm like, I don't know, asshole. Doesn't everybody put their eggs in the fridge? Like, you don't need to do that. And he started going on a handy rant.
Well, you don't want to go to the supermarket and take eggs out of the refrigerator and then leave them out on your counter. You know, so what we do is we wash them. We should not wash our eggs. When we wash our eggs, they take off protective layer that you know, allows us to keep them out. So it's after we wash them, we take that layer off. Then they
so
do
you have chicken shit on your egg. That's okay.
That's right. You want chicken shit on your eggs.
Yes, that's usually where I eat most of my chicken shit, is off the eggshell.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And actually, last time we were here, you were talking about how you want bugs on your vegetables too.
That's
you
right.
Talk about that.
Sure. I mean, you know, so essentially, we spray very little here. We use pyrethrin, all certified organic spray. But so, you know, if you have vegetables and they look perfect with no holes on them and there's no bugs eating them, you don't want to eat them either, I don't think, right?
That means if there's holes in the vegetables, then bugs have been on them eating the vegetables. And because there's bugs on it, it means they're not sprayed with a bunch of nasty-ass chemicals that you're eating instead.
Safe assumption.
It's not poisonous.
That's right. It's not poisonous.
That's so counterintuitive to what people think. Like, I want my leaves to be perfect and pristine because that's the highest quality. But yeah, if nothing else in the wild would eat it, you should avoid it because these animals are more in tune to what they need than you are. That's a fair assumption, right? These insects are going right towards what they need.
That's right. Most animals are not going to commit suicide by eating something they can't
eat. It's a bad strategy.
That's right. Very bad life strategy.
So are the bugs not eating the vegetables because they can tell there's something bad on it, or are the bugs dying because the chemicals are just sprayed on the bugs when the veggies get sprayed?
The bugs are dying. So they're killing, all... And, leads to another interesting topic, like with bees, right? You know what I mean? So they're killing the good bugs and they're killing the bad bugs. Mm-hmm. Ladybugs, for instance, are like the biggest eradicators of aphids, which are a huge problem on small-scale farms, But when you're spraying anything, you're killing the ladybugs as well as killing the aphids. So
it's the same thing going on with milk. Like the good bacteria and the bad, you crush it all. There's no survivor strategy.
That's right.
Yeah, a lot of people, they may get sick at some time. They get put on antibiotics or something like that. It kills all the bacteria, the good bacteria as well, in their gut. And most people are never told, hey, you should go on like a probiotic. You know, they're eating processed food, and then they're never put on a probiotic regimen afterwards. And it's really shocking to me. Like, I was like, everyone that's been on antibiotics at any time and isn't drinking raw milk, isn't eating like raw vegetables that were, grown in a farm like this, or aren't taking probiotics like intentionally, are probably set up. Their immunity is exposed. They're ready to get sick right ever again.
Metabolism and everything.
Yeah, people get. Oh yeah, there's also they're finding a lot of things that have to do with metabolism. And if you don't have the right amount of probiotics in your gut, then now you can't figure out why you can't lose that last bit of whatever.
It's probably that
you're not digesting all of your food.
There's no money in healthy people, and there's no money in dead people. Right. So.
After you bury them.
Speaking of money, there's much easier ways to get filthy rich than to run a sustainable farm out here in Pittsfield, Vermont.
I would have to think so, yes.
Kind of like being across with gym owners.
Say Joe!
There's easier ways to make money than being across with gym owner, but most people do it because they're passionate about it and they love it, and that's what I gather is why you're here.
100%. It provides me the quality of life that I want to bring my children up in, I work... Yeah. 7 days a week, 80 hours a week, and so I don't have to work 40 hours a week in the box.
What time do you get here every morning, Joe?
Typically 6:30 to 7 a.m.
It's not so bad.
No,
follow you around for a week.
I know accountants to show up to the office before that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Sure.
When you come up here, you come around that corner at, we got here, it was pretty early, and you see the sun coming over this mountain, and it's like laying sunlight on these plants. You walk through this facility, and you meet the people. I wouldn't have a problem getting up here to do this. This is a place where passion is sort of running over. It's fucking gorgeous out here. It's worth it, isn't it?
Absolutely. Worth every cent of it, And I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old that get to run around in these woods behind us, and to be able to bring them up in this environment is why I do it all.
We started this conversation earlier, and CTP was like, shut up! Save it for the podcast! And that tends to happen sometimes, but I was talking about how you made the choice to leave was the city.
That's right.
At some point. How long ago was that?
So my wife and I left the actual city 8 years ago. We went to the suburbs of Boston, and we came up to Vermont.
Even worse.
Totally. Yeah, the worst thing America has created.
Apologies if you're right now. Hey, asshole, I'm in the suburbs of Boston. Sorry, man. We love you.
Leave.
Yeah. Mediocrity. You're settling for mediocrity in the suburbs, right? So give me extremes. Give me downtown cities or give me rural areas, and happier.
That sounds like a revolutionary statement.
Yeah, so we were... what we were talking is like I get hit up with people with questions all the time, like how do you do it, like because people see what we do and it's pretty extraordinary, what you're doing is very extraordinary, and people are always asking, it's like, how do you do this? And I was like, well, first you got to do this. And like, well, I can't do this because I have this job.
That's right.
And I'm like,
the first thing
like
is
people,
no.
it's like the job is off limits or something. It's like, well, I can't lose all this weight. I've got this job that really stresses me. I'm like, quit the fucking job.
You're
like,
dying, asshole.
Like, you're
like,
dying.
What is your problem? Like, the job is not the end all be all, I promise. It's like, and it just drives me nuts. It's like, It's about lifestyle, and your job is part of that lifestyle, and if that job does not serve your purpose,
that's right.
You got to get out of there.
You're making choices. Every day you wake up, you're making choices, right?
Yeah.
And so, yes, you got to get out of there. That's the best advice we could give anybody is get the hell out of the box.
Yeah. Get out of the box.
How? Yes. Everybody out.
Out.
I was going to say, what made it easier for you to make that leap? Like, how did you make it past that big blockade to actually come out here and do this instead of whatever you were doing before?
So we were looking to expand our farm business down in southeastern Mass, and it was virtually impossible. We met up with Joe and Courtney. We know Courtney from a lifetime ago. Yep, Joe DeSena. We met up with them, asking them about life up in Vermont, and their farm here just so happened to be empty at the time.
And then he sold you pretty hard.
He makes convincing arguments.
He's a very good salesman, And we were here 3 days after the conversation started. We were here 3 days later, and we moved our entire operation 3 months after that.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the possibilities here are just extraordinary.
No regrets.
No regrets. Oh, my God. Not even a little bit.
So how do you are you raising your kids? How old are they again?
4 and 2.
4 and 2.
Yeah.
So, I mean, well, they're not at school age yet.
They are not school age yet, no. Yeah. Well, it's controversial. My four-year-old probably should be, according to some people, entering preschool right now, but she's not.
Because they're not learning shit out here, Jim.
No. I would definitely, we should put her under the fluorescent lights, okay? We should put her under the fluorescent lights, lock her in a box, no recess.
Sit down, shut up, be quiet. Right. Make marks on paper.
That's right, and then we'll bring her to Walmart afterwards.
Yeah. It's like, sit still for 8 hours. Can't figure out why so many children are obese in this country.
I have no idea.
My buddy Rob, he's on our team. He, the school, it's a private school too, won't feed the kid water.
They won't allow
it. It has to drink milk because that's federal regulation. Milk? There's some federal law that says they have to feed him this milk.
He has to get
dead milk.
Yeah. He has to get a
doctor's
note.
Probably skim milk.
Right. Hood. Actually, Hood milk, I'm assuming, right?
What's Hood milk?
Hood brand, the big dairy industry in America.
Yeah.
You don't know about that, I guess.
Some dairy lobbyists figured out how to get water out of the schools. So he's like, look, my kid's like 4 years old. Just feed him water.
He's like, humans drink water.
He has to get a doctor's note.
Are you serious?
To get the kid fed water instead of milk at a meal.
This is not fallacy. This is fucking happening.
That's
and it's probably
outrageous.
Happening all over the
and
place.
And this is in Tennessee. Right. It's not like New York City where people are insane.
Right.
But
now you've offended fucking all those people.
Well, the politicians there, we know.
Anybody else in large metropolitan areas you want to piss off? Exclude. Well, Joe, I also have, I've got a little boy who's come up on 3. He turns 3 next month. I've got a little girl now.
Awesome.
She's 5 months old. What does the average parent who's like, you know, because when last time Zach was here with us, his main concern is now something I'm echoing, where I'm starting to get more and more freaked out that my fucking kids aren't getting anything out of the food. In fact, it may be actively poisoned by this. What do kids need to what are some good guidelines that kids can start learning? Something simple that can help them start understanding the role of food in their life.
That's a tough question and a huge problem, obviously. The easiest way to put it is, again, you're making choices. Everything you put in your body, you're either feeding disease or you're fighting it, right? And so we need to teach our kids that. You're either feeding disease, everything you're putting in your body, you're feeding disease or fighting it. And that's probably the easiest, most straightforward way to put it.
I think kids would understand the idea that you just don't eat because this is something you do and it makes your tummy feel satisfied. I mean, you're a machine, and then just like daddy has to put fuel in his car, you know,
you have to
fuel your body. And
that's
if you
right.
don't fuel it, like, you remember that time that Uncle Mike forgot to get gas on a road trip, like, for the fifth time, and we ran out of gas? That'll happen to your body.
That's exactly right.
All right. It happened one time, and now we're up to 5.
5 times.
By the way, so this sign that I read right at the beginning of the podcast, when you first brought this out, we were saying, hey, man, this would be a really great way to intro the show because it's really ridiculous. It's something
they
that's
put
so
baby
healthy.
Death on there twice. Well, 3 times. Like, how many? You can have a miscarriage or fetal death or death of a newborn.
If you're not convinced that the government
propaganda.
Is using like fear tactics,
that's hugely
this is a
popular
sign, man.
That's right. Before anybody buys any raw goat's milk, I have to make sure that they read that sign. Federally regulated. Does that seem fair?
Man.
What about Red Bull? What about? I'm sorry.
I shouldn't probably.
Yeah, no, go for it. Now that's the thing is, and what you had said is like this is the warning label that should be on Mountain Dew.
That's right.
Not on raw milk
or Monster Energy drink. Right. You know, any of these drinks that are going to kill you, no doubt about it. Yes, raw milk may kill you. It's potential anything, but you know, Mountain Dew.
95% of the stuff that's in the grocery store
is killing you. Yeah. You're right.
I guess so too. People are like, but there's bacteria all over the milk. There's bacteria all over you, asshole, if you're lucky.
That's right.
Quit using that stupid fucking soap you're always washing yourself with and stuff. I mean, if you allow yourself to be as you are, you should be mostly bacteria. Your body is like 80% right. bacteria. Your weight is mostly bacteria. Get the fuck
and
over the bacteria.
And you spend your whole life trying to kill it off.
Is Vermont into the whole no soap, no poo, no shampoo movement where you're just washing yourself with water and basically nothing else? Or making your own concoctions?
So, yeah, sure, lots of people do that. I use bar soap, right? Like, I use Dove bar soap.
Because I'm not an asshole, you know?
That's what I do. As far as, say, deodorants and stuff, I didn't use deodorant in 7 years, you know? So
I think, so in this circle, I don't use soap. Doug doesn't use soap. Chris, are you off the soap yet?
I have switched to, I don't know if this is any better, but I got off of Amazon it's like coconut and palm oil and also seaweed soap. It seems better in my mind. It seems like it's healthy.
The ingredient list is certainly there for you.
That's all it's in it. It's like seaweed, coconut, and palm oil. Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah,
I only use soap if I feel like there's a real need. If I'm fucking covered in actual like dirt or whatever, like where I can like see their stuff on me, then I'll use soap. No, but if I'm just sweaty from a workout, then
I like to feel sexy. That's me.
I actually keep that clean snatch soap on hand for like if I get tattooed, like if I end up with. You know, if I have a wound I did jiu-jitsu.
If I grapple,
and I'm covered. Yeah.
I grapple,
yeah,
I use soap.
Like, now it's like, all right, time to kill this bacteria. But outside of that, like, I don't use soap at all. But yeah, just going, you know, further on the bacteria front, because we're talking about like gut bacteria. But then back in January, I heard a guy talk about like bacteria on your skin. I was like, shit, that's really no different than the bacteria in your gut.
No.
And I was like, all right, I'm going to, and he convinced me to do otherwise. So
it's basically your defense against the environment to a large degree.
My wife doesn't complain about my smell at all. So
Nope. Yeah. My wife smells as good as I do. So, you know, that's all that matters.
As long as you match.
it's like, we're totally happy. I mean, crowds dissipate when we arrive.
That's
but,
right.
You know,
that's right.
Totally cool.
But we can all hang out with each other, you know, and we don't mind. So it's good.
Let's take a break real quick. And when we come back, we're going to. I don't know what we're going to do this time. You got any good ideas?
We're going to make Joe spill all the secrets.
Oh, all the secrets.
The secret secrets. You know those we talked about that people are going to love if they stay tuned?
Oh, yeah, those secrets.
Yeah, those secrets.
This is Andrea Ager, and you're listening to Barbell Shrug. For the video version, go to barbellshrug.com.
Barbell Shrug is brought to you by you. To learn more about how you can support the show, go to barbellshrug.com and sign up for the newsletter.
And we're back with Joe P., AKA Joe the Farmer. We're up here talking about sustainable farming, things you should know about the food you're eating.
The evils of government propaganda, fuck them.
Yes.
Well said.
As things become more transparent, people's eyes are being opened. And that's one of the things we're trying to do here.
It's great.
We want to talk about CSAs. Well, two things. We'll talk about CSAs because that's how people can get involved and how they can get a hold of these types of foods. Can you inform us, tell us about CSAs and how people can get started?
Okay, yeah. So CSA is Community Supported Agriculture. Find the local farm in your area, the local CSA farm in your area, and sign up for a 20-week program. They probably do. That's what we do. Some farms do 10 weeks. Some farms do whole year-long programs, depending on where you're at. And it is a guaranteed way for you to get their produce and their meats and their eggs delivered directly to you, or you may have to go and pick it up at a farm stand, you know, in your town. But that is the most important thing we can do, be buying from small farms all across America, and maybe we will change things around.
A lot of times they'll deliver straight to a CrossFit gym. We've had that in the past we would, the like Saturday morning, they would come with a big delivery with a bunch of coolers, and they would just drop it off at our gym, and people would just come train, pick it up. People that didn't train at our gym, they could come pick it up there too.
It's exactly what we do.
Not expensive.
Mountain Strength CrossFit in Winchester.
I was gonna say that.
Yeah. Okay.
So what do you say to people who are like, I don't have the money for this, Joe. I can't afford to have that CSA thing brought to the gym every week.
Well, CSA is cheaper than Whole Foods, first off.
No, this is what people say. This is what fucking people say about it. It's
100%. You're absolutely right. So if you broke down most CSA shares, they will be cheaper than going to Whole Foods or anywhere, any grocery store, and buying produce. Unless, of course, you're buying the completely terrible produce, mm-hmm. then you know, if you're buying
bottom of the barrel at Walmart, you might get away with a little bit cheaper food. However, what you're eating isn't going to do anything for you.
That's
point one. It's not too expensive. Just do the math for yourself. And point two would be, if you're somebody who's interested in performance and you're looking for ways to do it, and you currently have a shelf full of fucking bullshit and bottles and jugs and all this powdered shit, like I'm talking about supplements, until you put your money, I'm saying,
go for it.
Until
yeah.
you fucking put your money in real food in places like this, until you eat this and understand the kind of benefit that has to your physiology and your fucking emotional well-being and your performance and everything. Until you do that, take the money out of your fucking cabinet and put it in the pocket of somebody like Joe, and that can make you fucking feel better.
Yeah.
That's what I would say to you. Try it for one fucking cycle. Do it. See how good you feel.
So you guys are in the middle of Vermont, in Pittsfield, Vermont.
Max F-bombs in 1 minute.
Yeah, right.
I'm fired up, Joe.
I love it.
Joe doesn't care. He's from Boston.
That's right. Fuck it.
So because you guys deliver real food and it has a short shelf life because it's real food,
yes.
You probably can't deliver all over the world. You have to deliver to a semi-local area. The whole local farming movement delivers to the local area. So how far do you guys deliver outside of Pittsfield?
So we last winter found ourselves asking ourselves a big question. What actually is local, right? That's the big problem. And the congressional definition of local is 400 miles. So we created this graphic, which we are basically at the hub of, and drew a circle. And so we also partner with other farms, right? Like we bring other farm stuff down into the cities as well. So any of the food that we deliver travels over 400 miles, but and most of it really travels like 150 miles.
So if someone just got on Google and they Googled Pittsfield and it was less than 400 miles, then more than likely you can help them out?
Yes, 100%. As long as they have a group of people. And, you know, it's really hard for us to say one person, yeah, I can deliver this and it's 100 miles away from everybody else. So typically what we try to do is groups of 10 to 20 people. You know, and you mentioned CrossFit gyms, like we've partnered with a couple of them in Mass. CrossFit Magnitude in Pembroke and Mountain Strength CrossFit in Winchester. Yeah.
Nice.
And we literally pull up there. We'll be there tomorrow. And we pull up there with coolers in our refrigerator truck and drop off a bunch of food. And after your workout, you bring it right home.
We're going to have to come do a delivery with you one day.
It'd be great, man.
We'll come back probably 6 months from now.
We wear our delivery outfits.
And I'm in Vermont every 6 months now. And, we'll schedule it where we'll do the drop-off.
That guy with the beard from that thing brought us our food this morning.
and that's not a pain in the ass for the gym owner. It's not like you're charging the gym owner to like make that drop-off location.
No, we give the gym owners free food for letting us drop the food there, to be honest.
My CSA didn't do that.
For all you CrossFitters in the Boston area, we give you free food if we can drop off at your gym.
Do you need any other
shit? That's a selling point right there.
That's good, right?
Because most gym owners are poor.
That's right. And most farmers too. All right?
Sign up, folks.
Yeah, so that's two parts too. Like, so we were talking about, like, more than likely you do have money to buy good, healthy food. When I was in college, my grocery bill, when I told people what it was, they were like, what?
Madness.
It's like, or, you know, and when I was first starting the gym, I was like, I only make X amount of dollars. I was spending close to 50% of my income on my food because that's how much I value. Because it's a lifetime value thing. Like, you're going to live longer, healthier.
Have you priced cancer lately? Right. That's the big question. Have you priced cancer lately?
Or if you're a college student, how much money every week is going towards beer?
Yeah. Right. The kids who are like, oh, yeah, you know, they spend $200 a month on supplements and then they have $200 to $300 in bar tabs, and they can't afford healthy food.
And you're typing your History 101 paper on a fucking $3,000 new laptop. I think you got money for food. Don't be a dick.
Yes. Well, the other thing too, on the money side of things, is the things you spend money on are what decides what happens in the world. And if you want to see a world where like healthy food is cheaper, there has to be more volume being done. Simple supply and demand, simple economics is if we have more people demanding that these things be produced, and the supply side will come in, and then the price is going to drop. And so, like, if we can just, you know, bite the bullet now, spend a little more money now, and we can get other people to come in. And this is where, like, getting CrossFit gyms to partner with these farms is really important, because if we can really get people to buy more of this stuff, not even just from a nutritional aspect, but from a just like, let's make the world a better place because your farm, it doesn't do nearly as much damage to the earth as a lot of these other farms. These farms where they're like tilling up tons of land, where they have these CAFOs, where they're taking cows and just like feeding them till they're almost dead, then slaughtering them. These are very polluted environments, and most farms are polluting the environment, whereas your farm also is actually healing the land. And that's a huge piece. That's something I think about a lot, and that's one of the reasons I want to get into sustainable farming one day is because, you know, not only is it nutritionally better, it's better for everybody's health, but it's also just better for the land.
It's not just land. It's ocean, too. Look at the fucking dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico.
100% right.
Yeah, I really think a lot of the droughts we're having out west is due to just, you know, 50 years of bad farming
because we're allowing it. We are allowing this shit to go down.
We're driving it. We're driving the goddamn bus, you know, and it's insane, right? You got to put the money in the pockets of the right people to change things around a little bit.
Absolutely.
There are good organizations. We talked about, like, not every big corporate entity is doing bad. Like, Whole Foods is trying their best.
They're doing a great job.
If they know that more and more people are rising to this, they could put their money behind the movement.
That's right.
Very easily.
Yeah. That's right.
And unfortunately, the government the laws are kind of set up in the favor of the big corporate farmers that are kind of destroying the land.
Joe's like, what are you talking about?
And what's really, and so not only are the tax, I mean, they're subsidized.
That's so, right. So
simply put, they don't pay as much taxes and they actually get money from the government.
That's right.
Yeah.
Their farming gets paid for. We have to pay to be certified organic, right?
Right.
Which is now the subsidies are starting to come our way as well to, you know, reimburse for the organic certification and the yearly dues and all that stuff. But that is the absolute truth is Wall Street starting to believe in us and the government is starting to turn around, and you know, the government just bought up USDA, so it's like you know, they're going our way, but we just got to keep that train going, you know.
So some of these subsidies and things like that are against you, but there's also some laws that are, you know, people are being, you know, farmers are being prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, things like selling, you know, raw milk or crossing state lines or something like that.
That's right.
So there's do you know about the Legal Defense Fund? There's like a local, what's it called? Can't remember what it is. Rob Wolf is really big on it. You should, if anyone's like really passionate about this specifically, you should check out his website. I think he's got a link there.
We'll make sure to
we'll put it on our blog. We'll put a link. But there's a Legal Defense Fund for farmers who get in some kind of trouble.
Oh, it's really cool.
So there is something out there for that.
Hopefully I will not have to use the Legal Defense Fund, but you never know.
If you ever get in trouble, we're going to swoop in with cameras.
That's awesome, man. That's sweet. I'm so happy to have you guys on my back.
So do you have any advice for anyone that wants to potentially start their own farm someday, even if they're starting on a super small scale?
Yeah, just go for it. That's what we did, right? We started with...
there you go, man.
That's right.
Go for it.
That's it.
You're going to fuck up, but you'll learn and you'll make your farm work, right?
You're right. Everybody fucks up with everything they do. I don't care if you're sitting in the box, you fuck up every day, right? So basically, we bought 3 goats and 25 chickens and started planting some seeds, and now we have 29 goats and 200 chickens, and we're growing produce on 4 acres.
Oh, shit.
So yeah, like 7 years later, you know. So hopefully you just got to go for it.
By the time the show airs and a little bit of time goes by, you'll have like fucking 500 goats over there.
500 chickens. Not chickens. Going for 500 okay. goats.
Right? I don't know. I'm
Jesus.
Not a farmer. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's right.
I'm just good. Communicating that I hope things grow.
last night we were invited. We're traveling all over the place. We were invited up here by Joe DeCina, and we were at a function last night up in a barn.
Yes,
not the type of barn you may be thinking of.
And we didn't know what it was, and we were surprised.
We like walk in, 8 o'clock at night, like, what's going on? They're like,
what, is this a wedding or something?
Sit down, we're having dinner. It's like this formal dinner. I'm like, I am in gym clothes.
And tired.
So I had goat shit on my boots, so it's all good.
So we walk in, there's a lot of authors, there's a lot of entrepreneurs, there's a lot of like activists
Google
all in this room.
And
everyone there was the 431 Project, which is, I wasn't here for the entire weekend. I basically showed up for the ass end of the trip.
Right.
So, like, I don't know exactly what was going on. But I kind of put the pieces together. It's about solving the child obesity problem.
Obesity and diabetes,
people,
yes.
Keeping kids off the couch, get them out doing physical activity.
That's right. I think one of the large taglines is that for the first time in human history, our children's life expectancy is less than ours.
That's just not acceptable, man.
That's not acceptable.
That's fucking bull.
Yes, right.
That doesn't jostle you into action. What does?
That's right.
Yeah, and so what's the website? Is it just 431
Project? 431project.com, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, we'll also post that to the website.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of people hitting it from a lot of different angles. There's authors there. There's guys like Ben Greenfield, who we've had on a podcast before. Joe is basically leading that up. Not only are they trying to, you know, improve, like, kids just getting exercise, but nutrition and looking at the education system. Like, basically, he invited 100 people in the room that can hit it from every single angle. If we can hit it from every single angle, maybe we can make a big difference.
What I also liked about that event is that there's a people who are... Look, here's the bottom line about Joe. There's a room full of people saying they're going to change the world. Normally, it'd be like, cool, man. Like, let me know how it goes. I'll cheer for you. Maybe I'll share your post. But in this room, I believe that that's going to happen. I do not put anything past Joe. And then also in that room were stories of how it can happen. Like, that, my highlight was that guy got up. Normal-looking guy. Looks like a normal CrossFit. A little muscular, bald guy. You know, the one I'm talking about. He gets up and tells a story. I go, oh, yeah, he seems like he's really, like, really passionate about whatever he's going to say. And he goes, yeah, I just want to say that. Like, I used to be 500 pounds, and I'm just,
500
he used to be 500 pounds. Now he's probably, he looks like he's 225, maybe he's 240.
230.
He's
I talked to him last night.
230. So yeah. He's down from 500. And he just said, look, I want to say thank you because I'm living proof of what kind of change you can make. If you just listen to these simplest things, your whole life can just be totally revolutionized.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. It's totally revolutionized, totally better. You're not, you know, you can feel so much better. You know, it's so simple, yet we are taught not to do it, to live the other way. I don't understand.
Well, everyone wants a complex.
That's right.
Solution to it, what right. they perceive as a complex problem.
Listen, get outside, eat real food, and you will live a longer, healthier life.
And you'll also be stronger and
boom.
That's right.
And
right.
Happier
it's very simple.
Sexier.
Knowledge bomb drop.
Very simple.
Yeah.
So for kids that really don't understand that they're going to, you know, be obese and become diabetic and get some type of long term chronic disease that's going to be, you know, digging themselves into a very deep hole it's hard to get out of. Mm-hmm. How do you get them to understand the importance of exercising and eating well? And I know you're not like an expert on kids fitness, nutrition, whatever, but do you have any perspective on that, having kids yourself and working with Joe on this 431 project?
Yeah, so, I mean, the best advice I can give is find other... So it starts with the parents, obviously, right? And you need to put your kids in the right environment, like, and that's mm-hmm. exactly what I've done. So, you know, it's really hard for these inner city kids that they're given zero options and their parents, you know, don't educate them otherwise. You know, they mm-hmm. are legitimately going and eating Burger King, you know, five times a week.
If Burger King is in front of you, if Burger King's in front of me and that's the only food available,
that's right.
I'm going to eat it.
You got to eat.
And
I totally know better, but
there's food there and I'm hungry.
That's right.
And it just happens.
That's right.
So I'm glad you said that because I really think that's the solution from my perspective is putting them in the right environment where making the right choice is the only choice.
100%. Couldn't agree
more. If the wrong choice is available, it's going to happen.
That's right.
I agree.
And most people are going to go with the wrong choice every time. Like Joe DeSena says, you know, he always takes the harder route. If he's got two choices, right, he picks the harder one because he knows that has to be the right one. And
he does it.
That's okay?
100%.
No, 100%. And and you know, so that's kind of, if you're given the two choices, if you're given the Burger King or the salad, the kid's going to take the Burger King every time, right? You know, so
yeah,
let's out it.
Yeah, the kid's not going to regulate himself.
No, 100%
or herself.
CTP has something to say.
I was going to say, and on that note, you got to, you know, Big Couch is going to hate me, but if you can't have the foods in the pantry that are going to make you fat, you can't have the couch. So let's get rid of the couches, right?
Yeah.
Actually,
Big Couch.
I was thinking about
Big Couch.
Are you talking about like a couch in your living room?
No, like Big Pharma, like Big Couch, like the couch industry.
Big Agra, right. So, yeah.
Big
agriculture. Sorry, Jordan.
To keep you
anchored. Big Couch.
Not big bean bags, though. We all need big bean bags.
Oh,
right?
Let's
not
get crazy. Yeah, that'd be insane.
We need big bean bags.
Oh, man. My favorite piece of furniture. Yeah.
No doubt.
No doubt about it. All right. And so we're hanging out up in the barn. We're talking about figuring out how to solve this problem. And then you and I are hanging back, having a drink. And I was telling you, I was like, I want to start a farm one day, you know, maybe 3 years from now.
And I think the conversation ended as we will be starting a farm 3 years from now, right?
Yeah. And you were saying, oh, yeah, to be considered local, it's a 400-mile radius. And we're talking about maybe we could partner up in a way where we could, like, open up more farms in different places.
That's right. So, you know, everything has to be scalable if you want to if you want to financially succeed, but if you want people to believe in you and to fund our project as well, right? So the scalable vision is here, and I don't even know if this is ever possible, but we've created like Sweet Georgia Peas Food Shed, right? Which is that 400-mile radius around our farm. And now why can't you take that 400-mile circle and just plop it all over the country, yep, right? And I'm not even saying sweet Georgia peas, but small farmers, let's do it, right? If all of a sudden our small farms and our CSA radius is plopped all over the country, now that choice is available to every child out there.
Do you think that's the only way you can lose right now is because right now you aren't unified? If the small farmers get together, now you have a force that can balance out the other side.
That's right. And we're quickly banding together.
This is like a militia
right
situation. We're going to put together a battle flag. We're going to fucking rally the troops and make something happen.
That's right. And we have the Spartan militia behind us, so we can do it.
Oh, yeah.
So
it was my understanding when Starbucks was growing, and maybe this is still happening, that they wouldn't just plop Starbucks all over the country. They would move into a city, and they would just like take over the city, like one city at a time, where like they would put Starbucks, you know, in one location, and then one pretty close by, and then one pretty close to that, one pretty close to that, one pretty close to that, and they would kind of just cover the whole city until that was just the only obvious option because they blanketed the whole city, and everyone had a ton of awareness about Starbucks in that city, and then they would move on to a new city.
Sounds like
risk. And I don't even know if that's true, but that could be a potentially good way to go about doing sustainable farms. Put them close to each other. That way you saturate that area as far as awareness goes.
That's right. And right now, like the coast, the Northeast, and then California, you know, Northern California and stuff, that's kind of what's happening, right? And it starts on the coast. And I think most things probably do start on the coast in this country, right? And now we just got to kind of keep pushing forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, things do seem to start on the coast and kind of move in.
That's right.
Yeah.
What about cows? I know you have goats and chickens, and you do a variety of vegetables and whatnot.
We have Angus cows, four Angus cows up on the hillside.
Happy
there. They're actually,
they look very happy up
they
there.
They are.
Right.
They couldn't
Until
have a better
one
life.
Fateful day.
One bad day, man. One bad day.
What are you
day.
Doing,
that's
Joe?
It's a 30-minute ride, man. It's only a 30-minute car ride, all right? So, yeah.
There, girl. That's
right. Hey, we are omnivores. We eat meat, right? So you may as well eat meat responsibly, people. Eat meat responsibly.
Yeah.
So how does this here compare to like industrialized cow operations or whatever they're called, like a food lot?
So our
one is a hell on earth, and the other one is a farm.
That's right. One is a disgusting pile of rubble. So
have you been to like a Colorado big like?
I have
crazy
never,
feedlot.
No, nope, I've never toured one.
Don't go.
I've driven by them.
Go.
All you gotta do is like I just crossed the country.
Yep.
By truck and pulling my trailer behind me. And I forget which state we were in. But, yeah, we drove by something that was obviously one of those CAFO operations where they just – and basically what happens is a lot of cattle are raised on farm and on grass or whatever, and that's how they live most of their life. And then the last 5 months of their life, they're shipped. They get all put in a truck. They get shipped to this something called a CAFO. And what they do is they just fatten them up with grains. They give them the food that makes you fat. So if you eat grains, you get fatter. If cows eat grains.
Sometimes they use candy.
Eat fatter. And here's the thing is what they do is they even feed them themselves. So the parts of the cow that are not usable by us humans, like I refuse to eat the hooves and the ears and all this stuff, right? What they do is they recycle that. They feed the cows to themselves.
Oh, God.
And we all know.
Soylent Green is people.
Well, we all know.
It's people.
I mean, like. And we know like human cannibals end up with strange diseases because they're eating other humans, right?
Prions in your fucking brain and stuff.
There's something that happens with the cows as well. So they're feeding the cows themselves, lots of grains, lots of corn. The reason they're getting the corn is because we subsidize the corn industry and we have too much corn, like more corn than we can eat. So we just feed the cows to fatten them up. When you get that really nice marbling, it's because we fed them corn.
But you know, they'll feed them anything now. They'll feed them fucking excess candy. There's go Google that.
Oh, really?
Like last year, I read an article the year before where they had corn. It was a tough year for corn or something, a little bit of drought or something. So they started reaching to whatever they had. They started having like bulk candy shipments put into the feed, mixing it in. Like I have a 99% memory of that article.
What ends up happening is this process only lasts 5 months because if it lasts any longer than 5 months, the cow dies. All right, and you ever see like, oh, these cows weren't given antibiotics or whatever. Well, what ends up happening in this environment is they have to pump them full of antibiotics because if they don't, they'll die. So the scientists have figured out a way to keep the cow alive for 5 months with that diet in that environment. They keep them right before they die. They slaughter them, and they feed them to you. Like, they feed you sick meat is what you end up getting. That's why you eat grass fed.
That's right.
In addition to that, if you go to one of these CAFOs, is you end up with it's just all dust. There's no grass. It's all dust. there's a lot of runoff. There's a lot of pollution runoff.
Cesspools.
Yeah, and it is nasty. So anytime you're not, Joel Salatin talks about this. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He does a lot of sustainable farming education, but it talks about like anytime you're farming just one thing, there's usually you have to ship a lot of stuff in, and then it creates a lot of pollution and it just kind of drains off.
That's right. You're mining. You're not farming at that point. Right. You're mining. And it's not a mining operation. I was about to say that, right? Like, so cows really aren't our big thing, but we do the beef Angus because they're preparing our fields for growing produce now, right? So they're the whole permaculture design type of thing.
It's a part of like the larger ecosystem that keeps the farm running.
That's right.
You're,
so those
you're
cows,
running an ecosystem here.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. So to do the sustainable farming, small scale, it's running an ecosystem.
I think if you understand what you're being served now, like, there's a time where you can no longer just like pretend that steak that is pale red and fatty. You can't pretend that you don't know where that shit's coming from. I think every individual, you got a couple bucks in your pocket, you want to buy your meal. You got, again, I think come down to what you said. You got to make the best decision you can make right then. Ask yourself, what am I supporting? When I put my $5 down, should I put down 7 or 10 or 15?
I think that's even kind of a myth, right? Like, I think if you really start paying attention to it, you're not going to be paying that much more for eating the right way. You actually would probably be pretty surprised because you're not buying that $4 monster drink, right? You're drinking a glass of tap water instead, right? So if you make these decisions, I really think at the end of the year, you'd be all right. On a weekly basis, you're still drinking the monster. You're buying the, you know, and then you're buying the produce.
And you buy the grass-fed steak.
That's right.
Steak,
so then, exactly. But so if you're supplementing with this stuff, then you're going to be spending more money. But if you actually switch your diet to the real, you know, eating real food primarily, I think you're going to be really shocked.
We go back to the lifestyle thing.
That's right.
Now, people always want to just dip their toe in being healthy.
Right.
It's like, no.
And they'll do it for a week.
You got to go all in. You got to train.
Get frustrated.
You got to train. You got to change your lifestyle.
How come I'm not healthy? Then they get frustrated.
Yeah.
Or strong or performing better. How come this, that, and the other?
Especially if you start counting all the money you spend by just eating out.
Yeah.
Like if you include that as part of your grocery bill, then if you didn't eat out anymore and you just ate, you know, healthy meat and vegetables and maybe some fruits, nuts, seeds, that whole deal, and you weren't buying any more processed food, you weren't buying any more alcohol or beer, and you weren't eating out, and you didn't have a bar tab, kind of like we said earlier, then it's not that crazy expensive. You would probably save money.
And that's right.
Back in the day, I did a budget, and I found out that I was spending more money on eating out than I was on groceries.
Oh, but yeah.
The
majority that's probably common.
But the majority of my meals were at home. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
When you
economics 101.
Yeah.
And at a restaurant, they're probably serving you the cow that you don't want to eat.
I'm a slow learner, folks, but I've learned there's a lot of other slow learners out there, so I'm here to help you.
Form a militia of slow learners.
It took you a long time to learn. There was a lot of slow learners proving you were a slow learner.
At the age of 32, I've learned there's a lot of dummies like me.
I've learned that. What?
I think.
So do you know enough about subsidies with corn and soybeans and all the kind of the big agriculture to talk about how that kind of developed and how that's affecting our food supply for the whole country? Or is that something that...
That's not... I would rather not get into a conversation.
We'll bring like some like, kind of like agricultural economics.
Yeah, that's what you need. Right, so there's two type of farmers that are happening right now, right? So you have people like us that have just dove right in and learning it and learned it from square one, 3 goats, 25 chickens. And then you have the whole slew of students that are coming out with ag degrees and stuff like that have never put their hands in dirt. And those are the people you need to talk to have that conversation.
Those sons of bitches.
It's unbelievable. I don't know if they're a good thing or a bad thing, but I think that any student going into an ag program should be work on a working for-profit farm for 1 year before they're allowed into that program. Because we have kids coming out of these programs now that come to work on the farm, and they're like, hey, but I don't want to be in the hoop house for 6 hours. It's too hot in there, you know?
That probably goes for any industry.
That's right. That's right. Yeah,
where
no
do
doubt.
You keep the chemicals?
That's right.
I don't see anything.
Not the farmer mentality.
No. My lab at school had all these chemicals. Where are they? I can't grow shit, man. I'm not prepared. I have $80,000 student loan debt. What am I going to do?
All right, let's wrap this up. Joe, if they want to find out more about your operation, where do they go?
SweetGeorgiaPea.com. So it's just the letter P at the end, and you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff.
Follow these good people.
And that's the biggest thing, and to spread the small farming movement throughout the United States, right? We just need the power of the social media and the help of you guys, and it's really cool. I'm so happy to have you visiting the farm.
Are there any other websites that you're familiar with that maybe like people can find Their local farm.
Yeah, so I know the one in Vermont in the Northeast is Northeast Organic Farming Association, so NOFA.com. Vermont Organic Farmers is another site, and there you could, I guarantee they have links all over the country to find your small farms. You know, in the cities they have, like New York has Just Food, and they're the kind of the intermediaries bringing all the CSAs down into New York. Yeah, just do a small amount of research on Google, and you will. I guarantee there's a local farm near you that you can support.
Use the Googles, you dummies.
Use the Google.
You'll figure it out.
Black said the pot.
If Google can't help you, nobody can. All right, make sure you go to barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter, and we'll send you all the information that you can't find on Google.
Thanks, Joe.